You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Sugya is going to be the Sugya Pikuach Nefesh, and as its title indicates, it's really a matter of life and death in terms of various shilas that are Nogeh Halach L'maisa. And to learn the shilas when they arrive Halach L'maisa is sometimes too late. You know, if somebody has an Avelis shilah, could they go to a wedding or not? So they know 2 weeks before, is the wedding's coming up, could they go? The rabbi could look it up, could not look it up. But with Pikuach Nefesh, you have to know the halachas so that if Chas V'Shalom, a person finds themselves in the scenario, they could act immediately. There's an interesting Yerushalmi that says that if somebody asks shailas about Pikuach Nefesh, they're shofech damim. Because if you have to wait and ask, by the time you wait and ask and get the yipsach, by that time the guy might be dead. So you do. You act. You don't ask. But there's an interesting continuation to that Yushan that says, Hanish'al hareze meguna. The one who is asked, the rabbi who you ask, he's ugly. What the rabbi do wrong?
Preparation.
So the Mefarshim explained that the rabbis are responsible to teach the community to know that Chil Shabbat, that Pikuach Nefesh is Docha Shabbos, and all the halachas that they have to know, so that they don't need to ask in the first place. And if the people need to even ask the shayla in the first place, it's the rabbi's fault. So I want to absolve myself of that responsibility, and therefore I'm going to give this shir, and you'll tell all the people who aren't here tonight what they have to do.
All the people in Florida.
All the people in Florida, and all the people in wherever else they might be. And this way I will do my duties, and hopefully everybody else will know that you have to save a life, of course. So we're going to talk about one very specific aspect, and that is the aspect of the psychological needs of a patient. We're not going to talk about the medical needs. Medical needs, of course, you're Mechal Shabbos, even if it's a suffix, you'll be Mechal Shabbos. But what if there is no medical need, but just a psychological need? Will that psychological need warrant breaking Shabbos and, even on a Doraisa level, would we go that far for the psychological need of a person? Now, what I'm not going to talk about is if a person is at risk of life because of a psychological danger. For example, they're contemplating suicide, or they're in some kind of they have some kind of mental illness where they might injure themselves or somebody else. There, of course, that we will treat equally, although the post can deal with it and discuss it. But that is a holy, and we will, of course, break Shabbos midaraisa to save a certain person because of a psychiatric or psychological emergency. What I'm talking about is a person who doesn't have a psychiatric emergency, but rather a medical emergency. But in the context of their medical emergency, there's also an emotional need that they would like to have met. What do I mean by that? Let's see the source number one. The number two, which is the Gemara Shabbos Kochav Chesam and Beis, which tells us a situation, as explained by the Gemara, and that will be the type of kasha that we're talking about. Let's see it inside. Says the sheets over there. Says the Mishnah. You're allowed to help a woman give birth, be a midwife, miyaldanes ha'isha b'shabbos, v'koron l'chachamam yuakam l'makam. You're allowed to call a midwife from some other place, even though theoretically a woman could give birth as a natural process. So there's a chiddush to the mission that you could still call a midwife. U'mechalan aleh ha'shabbos for the mother, the em ha'yoledes. V'koshen es ha'tibur, you can tie the umbilical cord. Now, the Gemara asks, why do you have to tell me that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos? You already said that you're allowed to help a woman give birth. Of course, I mean, it's obvious that you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos if it's necessary. Mechal Nalas Shabbos Lasuyemai. What is it coming to be Mechadish? What additional Chil Shabbos is it permitting that is not already obvious? And says the Gemara, Lasuye Hadetan Rabbanan, that which we find in the Braisa. Says the Braisa, Im Haisa Tzricha L'ner. If it's dark in the room where she's giving birth and she needs a ner. Chaverata madlekes la esaner. Her friend could light the fire, the candle, the lamp for her. Ask the Gemara, I mean, that's relatively obvious. If you're in a surgery room, in an OR, an operating room, and the lights are off, of course you could turn on the lights to do the surgery. Says the Gemara, no. Lo tzricha besuma. She is blind. Ma'o desei makim delachazia aser, since she doesn't need the light. So it's also presumably the midwives are able to do it without, you know, they don't need light, they just know how to, you know, maneuver their hands and do what they got to do. Kamash malan isuve miyasva daita. Even though she is blind, but she'll be relaxed, she'll be more relaxed and more comforted knowing that there's light in the room where she's giving birth, even though it doesn't make a difference, an iota of difference to her.
She won't even know,
And she won't even know, right? Savra, she will think, she will feel, if there is something that they got to do, that for which they'll need light, Chazia Chaverta Avdali, my friend who's taking care of me, will see the need and she'll take care of me. So this is really what we're going to be speaking about. You're talking about a case where a woman is giving birth and the midwife doesn't need any light, and she's blind, but she'll be more relaxed and more calmed if she knows that if somebody has to take care of her, that person will be able to take care of her. So let's talk about the simplest application. The simplest application would be a woman's going to the hospital and she goes from the house and her husband is in shul. So she's going to take an ambulance straight from the house. The husband finds out, you know, she gets a message to the husband, could he go to the hospital on Shabbos? A husband can't do much. He's not the doctor. He's not the midwife. He'll cheer her on. But nevertheless, it seems from here that she has a psychological need for her husband to be there. If there's something that needs to be done, she could be rest assured that he's going to make sure that whatever, you know, if she needs a painkiller, anesthesia, epidural, thank you. She knows that her husband will advocate on her behalf. He'll make sure she's taken care of. And therefore, the emotional comfort that she knows that somebody will be there for her, or whatever other emotional need that she has to be taken care of.
She has to request it.
Okay, so the poskim do say that it might not be if she requests it. Yes. We can't, you know, sort of wander into her brain and assume that she would want this and therefore be Michal Shabbos for a psychological need that's not medically indicated. Yeah, if she requests it. Yes, the poskim do point that out. Now, if you read this Gemara, if you notice the last line that I underlined could have been entirely omitted. The Gemara could have just said, since she doesn't see, maybe I would think it's us. So Kamash Malan, that it makes her calm, it relaxes her to know that, you know, the light's on. Why does it add so that she could think that if something else needs to be done for me, my friend will see that it's necessary and she'll do it.
There has to be some rational reason.
It sounds like there has to be some more than a rational reason. You could say it like that. I'm going to make it even more specific. It sounds like, at least in her mind, there has to be some medical benefit that she thinks she might be able to take advantage of. Not that it actually will help her, but that in her mind she thinks it will help her. Right? If you ask the midwife will say, I've done this twice a day for the past, you know, 22 years. I've delivered 7,000 babies. I could do this, forget about it in the dark, I could do it while I'm sleeping also. I don't need no light. But the lady's first baby, second baby, third baby, seventh baby, she's not her 7,000th, and she's terrified. So in her mind, she says, oh, if something happens, they'll be able to take care of me. It sounds like there has to be that, it's not enough to have an emotional need or psychological need, it's that it's a psychological need so that I could get better medical care. That's this extra few words of the Gemara Armashma. But if you look at the Rambam, you'll notice something fascinating. Because look how the Rambam records this very halacha. Hayoledes, a woman who's giving birth. Kishakaras leilet, when she's bent over to, you know, squatting is the best word to give birth. We treat her like a cholish yesh basakana. If she needs light while she's screaming in her contractions, we light a candle for her, even though she's blind. Now look how the Rambam says it. Because she's calmed down by the candle, meaning by knowing that there's a candle, even though she doesn't see it. What does the Rambam omit? He omits that last line of the Gemara that says, because she'll be calmed down, because she'll think that if any medical needs need to be taken care of, they will do them for me, because they could see. The Rambam omits that. He just says that a woman you could light the candle because she's calmed down. It sounds from the Rambam's citation of this Gemara that anything that calms a person who's in a case of pikuach nefesh, that itself is enough. That calming of a person is enough to enable a person to be Michal Shabbos. Let me give you a very real life situation that will be a nafkamina between the way the Gemara presents itself and the Rambam presents itself. The following situation. You have a case where a woman goes into labor on Shabbos at 3 in the morning. And she has an 11-year-old at home, she has a 9-year-old at home, and she has, let's say, an 11-year-old and a 9-year-old. Now, you and I know that an 11-year-old and a 9-year-old could get up by themselves, get dressed by themselves, eat breakfast by themselves. I'm not talking about babies. They're a third grader, a fifth grader, a sixth grader. And they could go to school the next morning, they could go to the next door neighbor the next morning when they find that Aunt and Emma aren't home. So you have a lady goes into the hospital 3 o'clock in the morning, but she's freaking out that how can I leave my kids at home? Who's gonna get them dressed in the morning? Who's gonna give them breakfast? How are they gonna know where Abba and Emma went? They're gonna be so terrified. So she's going to the hospital because she has to give birth, but she's freaking out. What's gonna be with the kids? Now, will we do any Chilul Shabbos, like bring the kids next door, ring the bell next door, drive the kids to the mother-in-law? Will we do any Chilul Shabbos to make sure that the kids are taken care of? Well, it's a psychological need. But is this a psychological need that is going to enhance her medical care? No. Is it going to be a psychological need that's going to make her medical needs be better attended to? No. It is a psychological need. She is freaking out. But it's not going to help her. So if we see like the Gemara sounded like it has to be a psychological need that will, in her mind, she thinks it's going to help her medically. And therefore, according to the Lashon of the Gemara, it sounds like in this case where the kids are, third grade and fifth grade, they're not in danger, and she doesn't need them to be taken care of for her medical health. It shouldn't be mutter. It should be aser. On the other hand, the Gemara is saying that a woman who's in critical condition, she's freaking out. So you want her to calm down. So you're allowed to be Michal Shabbos. Incredible chiluk between the Lashon and the Rambam. This could be a diuk in the Rambam against the Sabri and the Gemara.
Well, here's the Rambam. Here's that Gemara. It's just an example of why calming down.
Yeah. That's how the Rambam might learn. So first of all, we have to ask ourselves a question. Is this maybe a special halacha regarding yoledes? Or is this a general halacha about people who are ill in general? Maybe yoledes, there's something, terrifying. The Gemara talks about women when they give birth, they scream and they curse their husbands out and they blaspheme God and they do terrible, all kinds of terrible things that they don't baruch Hashem, but they curse, they make nidarim and it's an excruciating thing that maybe that's in some kind of class of its own. Maybe it's not like other, a person, God forbid, is in critical condition, it's terrible, but maybe we're not as worried about their mental health.
That's why they bring a carbon, right?
Yeah, that's one of the few shits why they bring a carbon chattis, that could be. So Tosis actually raises the question, but doesn't raise it just, do we apply this kula of psychological, chilshas for psychological need to a regular chola? Tosis asks that as a steer, because he says, we know the case is if somebody is sick on Yom Kippur, do we give them to eat or not? So it says that you have to ask an expert. You ask a doctor. You can't just, if they feel they want to eat, I'm not telling you if they think they're going to die if they won't eat. The Gemara there says, Ein ma'achin l'ketosis, Ein Gemara Yuma says, Pei Gimel Amarav. Chola Ein ma'achin l'osob Yom Kippur, El al pimumcha. Now, can I ask you a question? If you have somebody who's wouldn't they be a little bit freaking out if they're not eating? Wouldn't they be a little bit, even without the word freaking out, wouldn't they be a little bit apprehensive, anxious? I'm sure that would be the case. In fact, there are people in our neighborhood that even when they're not medically, even when it's not medically indicated, they're still terrified about fasting. Kal v'chomer if they would be. They think they're going to die. They're in perfect health in every respect, but in their minds, if they don't eat for 25 hours, they're going to drop dead. I've had conversations like that with people. And how you have to cajole them, and let them know that they don't have to eat a granola bar, and they're not even worried about drinking. I've always had a question like this. A woman who hadn't been to the doctor in a half a year, a year, and she said, if I don't have a granola bar, I'm probably going to, who knows what's going to happen to me. Now, if you ask any medical professional, they will tell you, that you could go, you don't die from starvation for 30 days. You die from dehydration in 3 days, yes. If you dehydrate, you could die, you know, reasonably soon. If you don't eat for a month, then you're going to start, then you'll die. And when I told them this situation, a lot of, you know, they said that's simply medically, it's medically just. But this lady thought she doesn't eat a granola bar, she's going to drop dead. She really thought that. So, how come there the Gemara says she would only, you're only if a person is mamish bepikuach nefesh, you still only give them to eat if you have a mumcha. Why? Here we're saying that whenever somebody is apprehensive, a woman who's a chola is apprehensive, is nervous, you already do the chil Shabbos, or you violate the Torah to save them from their psychological state. And here, and by Yom Kippur, we say that no, you need a medical expert to determine that they have to eat. And we don't, we're not worried about their psychological state. We don't say, oh, you're nervous, you're apprehensive, you're anxious, and you're chol sheyesh b'sekhan, go ahead and eat. I'll give you a very simple case. Let's say you have somebody with cancer. So somebody with cancer, let's say the doctor doesn't, they don't have to eat. They don't have to eat. But they're very nervous. They're very nervous. So according to the Gemara in Yuma, the doctor said they could eat. They could eat. Oh, but ask Tosis, what do you mean? But if they're in a Shechol Sheish Bo Sakana, which cancer could be, so we should give them the heter of this psychological dispensation. Go ahead, you're nervous, you're apprehensive about it. So you have a psychological thing in your mind that you're very nervous about, so calm down and go ahead and eat. How come we don't say that? Ask Tosis' question. Answers Tosis in Shabbos, Kupchav Chesam Adbeis, in the second line of source number 5. We're more worried about the health of a birthing mother. Hainu she yose yichola hayoledes lehistakein. She could get more endangered. A woman who's giving birth, who is freaking out that her needs are not being met, is more at danger, more at risk, more than the risk that a critically ill person would get endangered by them thinking that they have to eat. So you see something interesting, that Tosfos is saying, now you could look at it in two ways. You could say either this halacha is a special halacha for a pregnant, for a birthing mother, and we don't apply it to a cholim. Or you could say the opposite. You could say that, really, there's no difference between a chola, sheish basakon, as opposed to a pregnant woman. They're both in the same category. You just have to evaluate each situation, how much the emotional anxiety, the psychological need, are going to endanger her physical health. We evaluate, Chazal in their great wisdom evaluated that a birthing mother who doesn't get her psychological needs met, it could endanger her. As opposed to somebody who's critically ill but is fasting, that will not create as much danger. But there's no difference fundamentally between a chola and a birthing mother. So that's what we sort of have to figure out. So if you look in the Ramban, look at number 7. The Ramban, let's see what he does. Does he actually learn from our source about a yoledes and extend it to other cholim that we could be mechal Shabbos for psychological needs even by other cholim? Says the Ramban, he quotes our Gemara that talks about lighting the light, turning the lights on for a blind birthing mother. Kamash malan yisuvim yasve daita. You could calm her nerves, talking about a yoledes. Savra, and the woman will think, this birthing mother will think, iika midi chazion chavra saiv avdali, my friends will see and do what I need. That's just quoting the Gemara that we just learned together. Says the Ramban at the end of the line, source number 7, Shma mina, Dimishum yisuve daita dechole be'alma. What did the Ramban say? We hear from this that for the yishuv hadas, for the calmness of a chola, any chola, mechalin shabata b'milsa dimisataknaba. So we have 2 points here. First of all, he's extending it to any chola, not just to a birthing mother. But he adds the phrase, those last 3 words, what will we be Mechal Shabbos? In a matter that she will be in Sakana. So it has to, I'm not sure what that means. That if she'll get so freaked out that that's going to put her in sakana, or if she's freaking out about something that about the fact that she is bisakana. Meaning, let's say you have a case where she's freaking out about the her 11-year-old and her 9-year-old don't have a place to be, won't know that Abba and Ima left in the middle of the night. That's unrelated to her medical situation. She's freaking out. So what does these last three words mean? That we're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos on a matter? To Ms. Tachnava, it sounds like on the matter of her medical care, that she is going to be endangered by this Chil Shabbos. It sounds like if she thinks that if I don't go to this hospital, let's say a woman, either the Hatzalah has to decide which hospital to take her to. So the Hatzalah has been done this kind of case 50 times. And he knows that the local hospital is just fine for this case. She has a kidney stone. And they know that the local hospital is just fine. But she's saying, no, I have to go to Weill Cornell, I have to go to Columbia Presbyterian, I have to go to, a trauma one, a level one trauma center for my kidney stones. I need the top nephrologist in the nation to take care of my kidney stones. Hey, come on. Oh, but she's freaking out about that. So that would be something that relates to her care. They would be allowed to be Mechal Shabbos and drive all the way to the city, but every time they press the accelerator and the brake, it's Nisa Daraisa. But there, it's because she's freaking out, it's all in her mind. Everybody, the Hatzalah people know that this, kidney stones, you go to the local hospital, they give you they give you morphine, and that's just what they do for kidney stones. They give them a little
water.
They
put you on a bath.
Whatever it is, it's nothing.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
This is Halach Lemaisa. We had somebody in this year who had a Halach Lemaisa Shaila like this last year. Okay, so whatever they do. You don't need a world class nephrologist. For the acute treatment. In her mind, she says, yes, I need the top guy at Columbia, at Cornell, at Mount Sinai. So you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos? Yeah, it sounds like you are. Because in her mind, for her care, something that relates to her medical needs, so she's freaking out about it, and she's going to be beside herself, it sounds like you'd be able to. If assuming that severe kidney stones could be a Pikuach Nefesh, which I think the post can... Right. You're saying, does it have to be sufficiently psychosomatic that there really would be a correlation between her mental state and her life? I mean, like, she'll get so anxious that she'll give herself a heart attack. Maybe that's the lumdus.
It's impossible to be able to determine, by the way.
But it's enough of a suffix is enough to be, is enough to err on the side of caution. Right, you don't need a definitive, you don't need to know definitively. If I'm sufficiently concerned, certainly, I'll tell you where the post can speak about this. It's a fascinating shaila, which I wasn't going to talk about tonight, but it's really this point that you're making right now, doctor. The post can talk about chil Shabbos to save a limb. Sakanas Aver, a pinky is going to be lost. Or a guy loses a pinky on Shabbos, God forbid, and he's not bleeding to death. The bleeding is controlled, but he's going to lose the pinky. Are you allowed to drive him? Is a Jew allowed to drive him to the... a guy, of course, could drive him. But could a Jew drive... You're in a bungalow colony. They're only Jews. Could a Jew drive him to the hospital for them for the surgeon to sew the pinky back on? That's called sakanas aver, the risk of a limb. And Mekra Hadin, probably not. Probably can't drive him on Shabbos.
A guy, though.
A guy is fine. That's why you say, in a bungalow colony, there is no guy. Here, you could probably pick up the phone and dial the Rabbanan, okay. But if you're in a bungalow colony, the only question is to drive him on Shabbos. Probably not. I just davened that Shabbos should never come my way, ever. But listen to this. There's a Rabbeinu Tam who says that you're allowed to. Allowed to be Mechal Shabbos is not to save a life. There's no risk of life, says Rabbeinu Tam, because if he hears that he's going to lose a limb, that could cause him, Rabbeinu Tam doesn't say the word heart attack, but that could give him a heart attack. He could get a heart attack just from hearing the fact that he's losing a limb. And therefore, says Rabbi Natan, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for losing a limb, not because you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for losing a limb, but because losing a limb generates an anxiety that's so strong that anxiety could kill a person. incredible sheet of Rabbeinu Tam quoted in the Mordechai. Okay, so.
So it could be a stress factor.
Right, so stress, yeah, so stress definitely affects.
Stress or something?
What?
I don't remember the exact name, I think it's called fetal stress. Like if the mother is under stress when she's giving birth, it could
be. We have an OBGYN, don't we?
What's the question?
Is there something called fetal stress?
Stress or something?
Yeah, but that's
during pregnancy?
That's not emotional stress.
That's not emotional? That's a stress that reflects the way the
baby. Oh, that's the way the baby.
Okay, we have good. Now, so these are the questions that we're trying to, that we have to figure out. So we have an interesting story. Let's look, we have two stories in the Tashbates. Tashbates was, well, he had a cool name. Shmuel ben Tzemach Duran. Duran. Wasn't there like a group by that name? Okay, so now we know. It's really an Ashkenazi, it's really a Sephardi Rishon. Sephardi Rishon. Okay, so, what's that?
Must be in France.
I don't know if it's France, but I think it's probably Spain. I think the Tashbates was Spanish, because France is Ashkenaz.
Part.
Okay, it could be.
The Provence is that.
Right, okay. Yeah. Fine, so let's see. He has two stories. Shnei Ma'isim bin Yechil HaShabbos. This is the Shailas HaTshuvas HaTashbeitz Chilak Aleph Simon and Dalet. He's going to tell us two stories that happened. And then after they happened, they wrote to the Tashbeitz and said, did we do the right thing or the wrong thing? I mean, you have to realize, they didn't have instant messaging. They didn't have, instant communication. They dealt with, any Rav or Shtetl, he wasn't the biggest gadol, but he was the Rav, and he had to deal with whatever, on site, on time. And then afterwards, you have to figure out, did I paskin right or wrong? Let's look at the two stories. Two stories happened. Her husband, there's a woman giving birth on Shabbos, and she needed some chicken. And she's not, how could she possibly give birth without a pulki and some schnitzel? So her husband gets up and cooks her some schnitzel. Od pamacheres, nis'ali chosna lo Shabbos. The guy's son-in-law faints on Friday night. V'tiltel haner biyado, he carried the lamp, whoever the person asked to shayla, carried the lamp in his hands. And you, somebody accused him, saying that why did you carry the lamp? After all, there were women there. You should have told the women to be Mechal Shabbos. You should never have been Mechal Shabbos. That was the Shaila. That was the Shaila. I didn't say the Tshuva. That was the Shaila. Why would you be Mechal Shabbos to carry the lamp when you should have had a woman do it? Women, and we all know that. Women don't, right? That's the Shaila. Let's see what he answers. He says, if for purposes of a chola, so you're even allowed to, what are you worried about? You're allowed to even do a malacha gemurah. Forget about just carrying a lamp. You're even allowed to do a malacha deraisa, that's a chiskila and kareis, for a chol sheish basakana. Afal pi, she'ein ikarufu also bahadlakas in error, even if the therapy, right, if you're turning on the light so you could do something, the therapy is not the turning on the light. El shetzrichano, so the tzarkirufu also, it's still muta, that's a chiddush. I mean, we have to realize that the concept of turning on light is itself a chiddush. Even if you need the light, it's a chiddush. Because I understand you could do a therapy that's a chilul Shabbos, but to do a chilul Shabbos that's not the actual refuah, but it's just enabling me to do the refuah, that's also mutter? Yes, even that's mutter. And of course he says regarding the Shiloh with how could why you do it, should tell the woman, he says that's you're a total amharetz, you're a total dodo brain for thinking that you should have a woman do it. That's adraba. If there's an opportunity to be mechal Shabbos and save a life, it should be the gedolim in the city, whether it means the adult man or it means the Talmidei Chachamim. That's a different question. Let's look at the concluding words of the Tashbeitz Mikanira. From here we see shafilim pnei yishuv das. He's quoting our Gemara about the Summa birthing mother, the blind birthing mother who wants the light on. That you see from them, even if they don't need it for their medical care, only for their calming of their nerves, even though they're not benefiting from the light directly, Hu adil shar melachos, so too he's extending it to all other melachos, shacholem misyashiv daito bahen, shaosin oso b'shabbos. Do you see any reference to why this malacha calms him down? Do you see any reference to the fact that it will enhance, or even in this person's mind, his medical care? He just says that achol sheyesh basakana, and he doesn't need it for his medical care, he just needs to be calmed down. You're allowed to calm him down by doing this malacha. It sounds much more broad than what we were saying before, that it has to have some direct link to his medical care per se. It sounds like the Rambam's stamlash, that whenever there's someone who has a medical, you know, who's critically ill, their yishuv hadas is a sign that we will take seriously. Now with this, I will tell you a very real life shaila. A very real life shaila. God forbid somebody is taken to the hospital. And they say, I need my mother. I need my son to be with me. I need my wife to be with me. I need my husband to be with me. Right? God forbid a man fell down, fainted in shul. The hatzal takes him to the hospital. He says, I need my wife. Or an older person says, I need my son. Or a kid, you know, a kid who's playing in the park, gets hit by, you know, a baseball bat on his face. They bring the Russian to the hospital. I need my mommy. Okay, of course, there's always, you know, for a practical perspective, I would advise, my Rebbeim told me that any individual should never be alone in the hospital, not for psychological needs, because to have an advocate to ensure that they're getting proper medical care, I would advise that there should always be somebody else to accompany any person who's going to the hospital. But here, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about somebody says, I need my mommy, I need my son, I need my wife. I need them. Why? They're doctors. There's medical staff. Why do you need them? I need them. Why? It's an emotional need. So according, it's not going to be medical. And again, I'm not getting into the fact that there's a medical advocate who could ensure that the medical stuff is happening. From this tashbeit that we just said, they have a need. Sounds like that should be mutter. Look at the, let's say somebody thinks they need an amulet, they need a good luck charm. So that's a whole discussion whether amulets work or not, says the Rashba. But even if we don't know if this amulet is written by a mumcha, somebody who's a tried and true amulet writer, you could still, if they demand it, right? So who, I don't remember who asked before, did it have to be that they demand it? If they demand it, if they say, I need my good luck charm. We don't know if this good luck charm was written by the Baba Sali. That is Yotze, I think it was yesterday. Stop a guy. You need your good luck charm. He needs his good luck charm. I need my rabbit foot. I don't want to be in the house without my rabbit foot. Oh, but it's outside the Erev. I need my rabbit foot. So, according to this Rashba, you can go get the rabbit foot if they ask for it. Now, the rabbit foot isn't going to, you know.
Sofik Nichos, no.
I don't want to get into that. Okay, that's a whole different question. Yeah. What this figure really does, which I think is going to be a topic next week, it opens up a much broader shaila in Hilchas Pikuach Nefesh, which is perhaps the biggest shaila in Pikuach Nefesh. When you have a chol sheyesh ba sakana, what are you allowed to do for a chol sheyesh ba sakana? What chil shas are you allowed to do for a chol sheyesh ba sakana? Let me give you an example. You have a person who just suffered a heart attack. They're chol sheyesh ba sakana. So there's it's a day or two after their heart attack. They're in the CCU, the cardiac care unit, yeah? So they're lying in bed, they're on their monitors, and they want lunch. It's Shabbos afternoon. And there's orange juice, there's tomatoes, there's an applesauce. They could eat perfectly healthy, you know, they could eat normal healthy food, but they're on the cardiac, you know, they just had a heart attack 2 days ago, and they're in critical care right now, and they want lunch. So could you cook them lunch? It's not necessary for their, it's not that you're going to bring their food, it's not like all of a sudden you're going to heal his sick heart by giving him a proper lunch. But he's in a critical condition now. But could you make him lunch? Does the fact that somebody's in critical condition allow you to do a malach for them? as though it's Tuesday? Or does the fact that they're in critical condition mean you're allowed to do whatever Chilul Shabbos you need to make him to make him safe, to bring him to stabilize him? That's the question that we're probably going to get to next week, but let's think about this for a second. You could only say everything that we're saying now, that you're allowed to tend to their psychological needs, if you assume that you're allowed to do Chilul Shabbos for more than just their direct medical needs of stabilizing them. I mean, if you hold, you're not allowed to cook for a person who's a Chol HaShiyesh B'Sakana, unless that food is actually going to save their life. So if you cook their food, so we could ask, what about getting them, you know, their mother to visit them? What about all the other questions that we have? But if you assume, turn on the light, for example, but if you assume that you're not allowed to, if we assume that you're not allowed to do other things besides stabilizing their condition, maybe you're not going to be allowed to do things that are emotionally building and psychologically healthy, but they're not actually contributing to the stabilization of his medical care. So that's going to be a question we're going to have to talk about more about Riches next week, I think. I want to finish off with a Gemara that we're familiar with and an idea that we're familiar with. Let's forget about Hilchos Shabbos now for a second. And let's talk about, I'm sorry, let's forget about, you know, hospital law. Let's talk about lawyer law. Let's say you have a person who's has a will, and he's on his deathbed, and he wants to adjust his will, right? So it's Shabbos, but he knows he's on his deathbed. What do we do? He's a Shchiv Mera. We know that everything that a Shchiv Mera says, you don't have to do kinyonim. We don't want to get him agitated, and therefore we dispense. We say you don't have to do the proper kinyonim. You don't have to write it in a shtar. This, if that's what you want, don't worry. It's taken care of. It's as good as done. Why? Because we're worried that we don't want to agitate a person who's on his deathbed. If you agitate somebody on their deathbed, that could, you know, provoke speeding up his death. You don't agitate him. That's halacha that we're familiar with. So how far are we going to go with that kula, that leniency, that we will dispense of other halachas? Okay, I understand. Well, we're not going to need him to do kinyana. We're not going to need him to write in a shtar. If you want it, Chazal will see it as though it's done. We don't want to agitate you. Would we say thing? Would we even, to not agitate a person, even let there be an issa daraisa? So again, this shaila, look at the Prima Gadim. Look at the Magen Avraham and Shin Vav. Shin Vav talks about, on top of page 3, I'm sorry. Top of page 3. Look at the bottom of page 2. A fascinating Shulchan Aruch, which is similar to what we just talked about. Let's say somebody dies. Are you allowed to get a relative or a rabbi from outside the Tchum to give him a hesped? Could you call him on Shabbos to walk out of the Tchum for purposes of a mitzvah? Says the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Shabbos, Shin Vav, Sif Tes. Also, lo ma'ale ina Yehudi. You can't even ask a guy to go outside the tchum to sheavol haspil to bring the relatives or people to be maspid. Aval chol ed takif le'alma. If you have a sick person who's, you know, on the brink of death, the amar, and he calls, says sheish lechu bad krova, please call my relatives from outside the tchum. Vaday shari. We're gonna be mechalal Shabbos to get him his relatives. Oh, but that was the guy. You're going to have the guy, you know, call the relatives. That's probably also the Rabbanon, unless it's very far. That may be in a Sederai, so let's assume it's the Rabbanon. Let's look at the Magen Avraham, tap the next page on that point. Afil lahaskir, you're even allowed to hire the guy to, bring the relatives. Kadesh lo titarif dai to alav. Like we see in Reish Nundalad. Reish Nundalad is the halachas of Matanas Shchiv Mera, where we say that if a person's on his deathbed, we dispense of all the kinyanim that you're supposed to do and the shtar the way you're supposed to do it. No, whatever you want, we'll consider it done. But look at the Prima Gadim's commentary on that Magen Avraham. He says, he applies it what? Kol pikuach nefesh shari af bidin Torah. This halach is not just to tell a guy to pick up the relatives and bring them, you know, to tell the, you know, the right, I need my mommy, I need my wife, I need my son. Okay, so you'll send the guy to pick them up and drive them to the hospital, throw me over the no. Says the Prima Gadim, if the person is in this very precarious state and they say, I need my relative, says the Prima Gadim, even for an Issa Daraisa. If we're worried about their mental state, then you could even, if a doctor is, you know, with a patient who's, again, in the middle of like a cardiac arrest or something, and you see that they're very agitated and they need whatever to be calmed down and that's going to affect their heart rate, certainly, then you could even, of course, be Mechala Shabbos to bring them their relative, which is not a direct therapy. It's a psychological concern that is going to affect their medical therapy. Even that would be mut. That would be mut, according to this Prima Gadim. Do we pass on this Prima Gadim? I'm not sure. Now, there is, let's finish off with an interesting Shaila. Yeah, look at this. In source number 19, Daf al Hadaf, I think, is a compilation of somebody put it together. Was it Yusuf Zilberstein? Is that Chashuk Echemer? I'm not sure. Daf al Hadaf, somebody put it together, lots of different things on the on each Daf. So on this Gemara about the blind mother who's birthing, we'll just see this point, then we'll stop with that. An interesting shayla. The shayla is very similar to what I just asked. The sholu meishiv was asked, be'echad she'odiyu lo she'ishto she'nimtzeis b'makom rachok. He found out that his wife, who's many miles away, takif la'alma. I guess it means she fell deathly ill. Imutar la'ba'al insoi le'ab yom ha'shavas k'deli su'vedat, because the husband go, not to provide medical care, but to calm her down. The wife went nuts and she's in danger of it. He says, you know what? You're allowed to do an Issa D'Rabbanan to go. And he quotes this Prima Gadim that we just read together. It sounds like you could even do D'Raisa, but he doesn't pass like that Prima Gadim. He says, no, you're only allowed to do an Issa D'Rabbanan. And not only that, but look at the next paragraph. Ulam B'Shaz, which is Harei B'Samim, a different Acharon, says you're not even allowed to do many Issa D'Rabbanan. When you ride on a horse, for example, to go to another town, there's numerous Yisurim D'Rabban. There's Mechamer, there's Shvises Behemto, there's Gzer D'Rabban, you might cut off a tree, there's a Tchum. You don't necessarily have the right to violate all those multiple Yisurim D'Rabbanan. And therefore he says, no, you can only violate one Yisurim D'Rabban. Like if you have a guy do the work and you ride with the guy, for example, or on a train. And of course, only if the sick person asks for you. But he concludes that the minhag is in this shaila to be mekel. So therefore what's coming out is that there's really a lot of, we have to clarify, there's a lot of discussion whether the heteron that we're giving to somebody, if there's emotional need, is it only for something that relates to their medical needs? I think I was speaking to Rav Schechter last night at a shul chasana, and he said that it has to be something that's related to their medical. It can't just be something unrelated. It can't be like the case where, oh my gosh, what's going to be with my 9-year-old and my, you know, 11-year-old kids? What are they, you know, why are they're not going to be able to eat breakfast tomorrow morning and they're not going to know where Abba Nima is? That's not going to be something for which you could be Mechal Shabbos. The Chil Shabbos is when the person's freaking out for regarding something that relates to their own care. That's what Rav Schechter told me is the way we seem to paskin. Certainly, if there's somebody who's anxious, somebody who's deathly ill, and they want a relative to be present, it seems like we will definitely allow Mir L'Nachri to allow a Chil Shabbos D'Oraisa. So the Prima Gadim says yes, but I'm not sure if we're going to go that far. Nowadays, we have Uber, and Uber, even if it involves pressing the button, is probably D'Rabbanan, and it's a guy who's driving. So therefore, Uber is a wonderful thing because it basically, whenever you have to get from one place to another, you never have to drive. You just have to do your Uber, and which is only Yisurim D'Rabbanan. Of course, you're not allowed to do. It's not good to do Yisurim D'Rabbanan on Shabbos. But if Chil Shabbos needs to be done for this emotional, for getting a relative to where they need to be, again, only if it's for medical concern, then you could drive. But if it's just for psychological concern, then maybe we won't go like this cool of the Prima Gadim. We'd say, at least, but take an Uber, that you'd be able to do. Yeah?
I had the opportunity to take someone in the family who hurt themselves badly to the emergency room.
Ashrecha.
It's called town.
Car service, yeah.
In Far Rockaway.
Okay.
Among the interesting things that happened that night,
yeah,
many hours in the emergency room, was that when the second driver came to take us back,
yeah,
I moved to open the door. He stopped me.
He knew. Wow, very good.
He's trained.
Good, he's trained. Very good. That's wonderful. Okay, we should be zocher to be healthy and to never have to face these shahs halachamayisah, but if we ever do face them, then we're equipped to deal with them.
You have been listening to a presentation of benstorah.com.